is kind of true, that the more you love someone, the more you try getting the right gift for them, that perfect gift, right? I mean, think about that. If you really love somebody, you really try hard to get them that special gift that'll mean a lot to them, right? You don't want to just give them a gift that'll be totally meaningless, right? Are you guys awake? But, you know, I mean, think about it. Think about the lame gifts that you have gotten over the years from people that you just think, really? Seriously? I mean, you know, unless you were complaining about cold feet throughout the year and somebody got you socks, you probably looked at those socks and went, you know, they probably weren't really putting a lot of thought and a lot of effort into getting my Christmas gift, right? I mean, you just kind of think about it. You know, it might have been a re-gift. They might have kind of went, I know who I'll give these to, you know, that kind of thing. But the closer you are to someone, the more you know them, right? And the more you know their needs. You know what they need, what they want, that kind of thing. And the more you want to show your love to them. And so you try harder to get a good gift for them. And really to get the perfect gift for them. And you might even be, especially your moms, you know, because moms do most of the shopping, but you might even be a little bit anxious tonight as to how the gifts you got are going to be received tomorrow, right? I mean, are they good? As the wrapping comes off, are you going to hear, wow, this is awesome. How did you know this is what I wanted? Or are you going to hear, oh, gee, thanks. You know, all right. Kind of thing, you know. And is your gift going to be one of those gifts that gets used frequently, maybe every day? Or is it going to get, like, lost? Is it going to get into a drawer or a closet and it's never going to be seen from again after tomorrow afternoon? You think about those things, right? I do. I mean, you know, when I'm getting for my wife, I know, you know, it's like, gosh, is this really, really something that she's going to enjoy and for our daughter and grandkids and that? But here's a question for you. If you knew what people would do with your gift before you gave it, all right, would that affect what you give them? Especially if you knew their need, let's say, and you could meet their need, and maybe even at great cost, but you love them a lot, and so you plan on giving them something that is very costly, very dear, just something very precious to you, but you know they need it. And would you give it to them? Would you go ahead and spend that, even if to a large degree your gift would be ignored or even rejected? If you knew that's how it was going to be received, would you? Would you spend a bunch of money? Would you spend a bunch of time if you knew that no matter what you did, it was just going to get chucked in a closet or, you know, forgotten or re-gifted kind of thing? Would you still go through all that effort and give? Would you give that gift? Probably not, huh? But you know, that's exactly what God did for us. Think about what this says about our Heavenly Father. How much He loves us. About His great love that He has for us. That God loves us so deeply, knows us so intimately, and knows our deepest need. And He provided that in Jesus. See, the greatest need that mankind has had and still has is for a Savior. Someone to save us from our sins. And all of us have that same need. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're some, you know, rowdy biker guy, you know, who spits at the dinner table. You know, or you're some sweet little old lady grandma, you know, that you would have a hard time watching anybody jaywalk, you know, because, oh, gee, my goodness, that's just horrible kind of thing. But no matter where you're at in that spectrum, the deal is you still need a Savior. See, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, every one of us has sinned. We've all fallen short of that perfection. And God can only deal with perfection. In fact, the wages for our sin, what we earn, what we deserve, the Bible tells us just a few chapters later in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an awesome thing. See, what we deserve, our wages, it's eternal death. Separation from God. Spending our eternities in hell because of our sin. But God loved us so much that He gave that gift of eternal life. And that eternal life only comes through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. See, that's what Christmas is all about. And I know we don't think about that a lot, especially in our culture, especially in our society, the way that we have been going more and more secular every year, making Christ less and less a part of Christmas. And I the whole Xmas thing kind of deal, I pretty soon expect people just to be saying, Merry Miss. Merry Miss. No Christmas, just Miss. I think that's the way it's going to go because we tried to push Christ out. And during this time of year, I think God would have us, especially those of us who believe in Christ, who have put our trust in Him, to really be those people, as Jesus said, we're to be light in the dark world, salt, in the world. To bring back that understanding that Christmas is all about the greatest gift, the ultimate gift that has ever been given, the gift of a Savior. We often think about Jesus being in a manger, this little baby, as we saw in that picture, kind of depicting Jesus when He was born. And, baby Jesus in a manger, pretty harmless, right? It doesn't take much of a commitment there. There's nothing that rocks your boat kind of thing. Pretty benign when you think about Jesus just in that way. But see, Jesus grew up. And Jesus had a lot of stuff to say. One of the things He said that we must be born again. And when He was explaining to the religious leader, a guy named Nicodemus, what it meant to be born again, He described what being born again was all about in one of the most famous verses in the Bible, which is actually, I think, one of the best Christmas verses there is, John 3:16. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." See, that's the ultimate Christmas gift, is God giving us the Savior, that if we would believe in Him, and that word believe, in the original language that the New Testament was written in the original Greek, is a word that means more than just to adhere to some mental facts, to assent to the fact that, yes, there was this guy Jesus, He was born, and I believe that He existed. It really, that word believe, it's also translated to cling to trust in, to rely upon, to have faith in. It means that we put our lives into His hands. That's what that word believe means. And that's the gift that God gives to us, is the ability to have salvation by putting our life in Christ's hands, in the fact, knowing that He died on the cross for us. His death on the cross was payment for our sins. And by simply putting our faith in that death, we can have eternal life. Like Jesus said Himself, that we would not perish, but we would have everlasting life. And what amazing love that God has for us, in that even though He knew what we would do with that gift. Think about it. How many people reject Him every day? And what happened to Him when He was here in the flesh? That gift, that precious gift, God's only begotten Son that He gave for us, how we treated Him. In Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6, says that He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. What an awesome gift, huh? And to think that God gave His Son knowing this. See, this is a prophecy about what would happen to the only begotten Son of God. This was something that God told Isaiah to prophesy 700 years before Christ came. And if you and I, like we said before, if you and I knew that people were going to reject your gift and it was very costly to you, he'd probably say, forget it, dude. You're on your own, Jack. I'm keeping this. But God loved us so much that he gave that gift, knowing what we would do, by and large. John wrote about that same thing in his gospel. The Apostle John wrote in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. He says, speaking of Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. See, even today, most people reject him, just like they did back then. Jesus prophesied about it. In Matthew 7, most of us have heard this one before, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Think about that. Broad is the way. Many are they who go that path of destruction. The only way you go into destruction is by rejecting God's gift. By rejecting that ultimate gift of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. But the few who find that, the few who receive him, well, then we have that right to be the children of God. We end up going into that narrow way, yeah, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We receive that gift by faith. God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I accept that payment. I believe that's for me. And instantly, we're put into the family of God. That gift has been given, though, for all people. Like Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him. Folks, you and I are part of that whosoever. See, if you haven't put your trust in Christ, if you've never surrendered your life to him and received that payment of Jesus' death on the cross as payment for your sin, you can be one of those whosoever's. You can do that tonight. And we really hope you do. Because, see, eternal life, that ultimate gift from God, you know, that's what God wants us to receive from him. That ultimate gift of salvation through faith in Christ. And we hope that you will do that tonight. We also hope that you would be able to say with us, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that's what this night is about. We're here to celebrate that. We're here to present that to you. And now the children want to come in and they want to present that gift to you, to really sing about it and do some pretty cute things there. And so you guys want to go ahead and welcome our children.